Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Chapter 1 and verse 28 will serve as our text this morning. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Let's get the context of our scripture, beginning in verse 24 of the same chapter. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The Apostle Paul, writing from prison, encourages the Colossians to continue in the Christian faith regardless of difficulties. The afflictions that we endure for Christ are, after all, nothing compared to the afflictions that Christ endured for us. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been entrusted to the church, you and I, friends, as a stewardship. Therefore, God's church and God's people are required, commanded, to proclaim and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we look at our text, we have a mission statement for the local church. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So in our sermon this morning, we will break down the truth inherent in our text. First, him we preach. Secondly, warning every man. Third, teaching every man. Fourth, in all wisdom. And finally, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We'll begin with the message and follow it through to the ends of the message. First, him we preach. If we fail to preach Christ and exalt his name, then we are failing in our obedience to the Great Commission. The early church was diligent, preaching in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Philip, when he had the opportunity to speak with the spiritual seeker, preached Jesus to him. Even a new Christian can preach Christ without fear. No sooner had the Apostle Paul gotten saved that we read in the 9th chapter of Acts that immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. We preach Christ crucified. Him we preach. What does it mean to preach Christ? What is the content of our message? Our content, of course, is rooted in God's objective truth, which we find in the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The objective content of the gospel is this. We don't have to go digging through the Scriptures and try to come up with some ingenuous human form of presentation. We're best when we stay on God's ground, with the foundation through which the faith, which was once for all given to the saints, was passed down to us. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. We do not preach 12-step programs or social justice, although these are good things. They must not be allowed to usurp the place of Christ. Him we preach, and Him we preach first. Without me, said the Lord, you can do what? Nothing. How then can 12 steps be profitable to you apart from Christ? How then can social justice be correctly applied apart from the power of the Holy Spirit which is in you? And the power of the Holy Spirit resides only in those who have accepted the life-giving and the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Him we preach. Christ is the starting point for our spiritual journey. That relationship with the living person, a living God, who now is seated at the right hand of power, interceding and advocating for His saints. That's you and I, friends, if indeed you are of the household of faith. If God's people will not take their stand for Christ, then they are abdicating their responsibility as stewards of God's great gospel. Therefore, preach Christ wherever you go. If you have occasion to speak to a group regarding Christ, then speak to a group regarding Christ. If you have occasion to share one-on-one the hope which is in you, then share one-on-one the hope which is in you. We're coming to the place now with regard to our evangelism, which we do. One of the things we've discovered is that while there are many people involved in this great work, it's a little bit disjointed, shall we say. The Lord says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so, as we continue in these weeks, we're going to be giving specifics as to how we can do this. There will be a greater emphasis on the going out into the world and preaching Christ, the one-on-one evangelism, street evangelism, in a more within a more formalized framework, and so forth. If you want to be a part of this, You don't know what to do. You don't know how God might be calling you to witness one-on-one. You can see myself. You can see Gerard. You can see Scott. You can see Brian. Any of these men will be happy to help you in a direction in which you might go. Ladies, any of the ladies of the church, I'm sure will be able to point you in the right direction as well. Well, while many people are guilty of neglect of the duty of witnessing to the hope that is in them, as for me, him I will preach. Will you say that with the Apostle Paul this morning? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Warning every man of the judgment to come and the wrath of God, of the truth, as it is written, that it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. Sound the alarm that those who die without making peace with God on His terms will face an eternity apart from Him. Will not only die physical death in this life, but will experience the second death. A banishment from God and a consignment to the place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let us also be warning every man within the household of faith of doctrinal errors, such as the denial of the deity of Christ, or adding or subtracting things from the gospel which has been given to us, which is so simple that even a child can understand it. Warning every man of unrepented sin, those secret sins indulged in by the Christian are not so secret in the plain sight of omniscient God. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, you may think you're putting one over on God. That thing that you do, that thing that you've been indulging in, you think you're not going to get caught. Chances are I won't catch you, but God will. Therefore, repent of those things before your whole life goes into a free fall. A word of warning to every man. Teaching every man. Teaching every man what? The truth which was once for all given to the saints, as God has revealed it to us in the Bible, not adding or subtracting from the truth, lest you become a partaker of those who are accursed. Now we are responsible to teach the basic truths. All of those who have an understanding of the gospel can do this. Teaching in the church in a public setting, however, is a great responsibility, a great stewardship. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, the way I can illustrate this principle to you is after this manner. He who comes to stand on this pulpit, or any other of the pulpits from which the Word of God is, or at least should be, preached, with clarity and truth, has a great responsibility. That man is 100% responsible for what is being said. Not only for himself, but he also shares in the accountability of those to whom he preaches. So look at it this way, at least from that standpoint. You can see where James, the half-brother of the Lord, is coming from. He who is at the pulpit is 100% responsible. Let's say there are 20 people in my hearing. Each of you is 5% responsible. In other words, the man of God who speaks forth the word of God is 20 times more responsible than those who sit in the pews. Indeed, it is a great responsibility. When you undertake to lead and to teach others, you're responsible not only for yourselves, but to those whom God has placed in your charge, those whom God has called to hear the message. Now, this is not to diminish your own personal accountability, but simply to stress the accountability of he who preaches the word of God or teaches to others. This is not a light thing. This also goes, by the way, for you ladies who are involved in the Sunday school ministry or who teach your children. In all wisdom, true wisdom equals God's wisdom. We need look no further than the Holy Scriptures for a definition of wisdom. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. James gives us some guidelines as to how we can warn and teach in all wisdom by defining God's wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is a definition of wisdom in the Scriptures. By the way, in your bulletin, there is a section in there called Related Scriptures. When you go home and see whether these things be so. You ought to be able to reconstruct the sermon in a sense. Everything that's been said by simply reading through those scriptures. My philosophy on preaching is the more of the word of God that is quoted, the more powerful will be the message. The preaching of the word of God receives its power from on high, not from the things on this earth. And the words of God will hit home with greater import than any clever sentence that the preacher may come up with. Finally, the goal of our ministry, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The idea here is not that 100% perfection is possible, but that word perfect has the connotation or the idea of completeness or maturity. The way we do this as a church corporately and as evangelists and teachers individually is through the faithful proclamation and wise application of the truth set forth in the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. There it is again, or perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We come here on Sunday morning first and foremost to praise the Lord. When you walk in those doors, get it out of your head that it's about what you're going to get from that day. It's about what you're going to give. You're going to come here and you're going to say, Lord, for 167 hours, you have been so faithful to me. The least I can do is come here and praise you and thank you. So we come in for that purpose. First and foremost, without agenda. A secondary purpose is that someone here might need ministering to. So we come here with a heart to minister and build up others in the household of faith. And when we come with the right attitude, when we do those things, guess what's going to happen? We're going to receive something. We're going to receive blessing from the Lord because we came here to honor Him, and God is going to honor that faithfulness. We'll conclude with some applications. These are printed in short form in your bulletin. First, and this is for Christians, this isn't for you if you don't know Christ. If you're on the fence, you got one foot in the world, one foot in the things of God, you can disregard this. But don't leave yet, because I'm going to get to your case in probably about 45 seconds. So first, I'm going to speak to the Christian. Lessons for personal evangelism and soul winning. First, never lose sight of the fact that Christ is the one whom we preach. Him we preach. It's not about marketing. It's not about telling people what they want to hear. It's about preaching Christ. We go out in the world and we tell people exactly what they don't want to hear. That's what we're commanded to do. Go out in the world and tell people what they don't want to hear. And then we realize that it's God who's prepared the heart. Because no natural person really wants to hear that. And no natural means will bring somebody to Christ. Secondly, warn the hearer of the justice of God towards those who rebel. For instance, the most common, probably the most common objection I hear is, well, I serve the devil, ha ha ha. Really? Why is that? Tell me, why do you serve the devil? Where has that gotten you? How has that benefited you? And we're able to kind of get a segue and explain the benefits. Well, here are the benefits of serving the Lord. And if somebody wants to be honest with you, they're going to realize or share the fact that serving the devil hasn't worked out all too well. Third, teach the basic gospel truth. Many people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. There are certain components to that. John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, which are good verses to share. If you take a look at the back of the bulletin of every service you have here, you have the Christian gospel. You have some of the basic components of the gospel. Certain things that we can stress in our evangelism. And the final couple of steps to lead people to Christ, to that decision. Fourth, bring the wisdom of God to bear. In other words, use Scripture. If you're going to go out and talk to people and share the hope that's in you, use the words of God. They're more powerful than your words. And if you don't read the Bible yourself, how are you going to do that? Fifth, be persistent, persevering, and following up with those who are sincere seekers, making a distinction and having compassion on some, in the words of Jude. In other words, go the extra mile and spend the time with the serious seeker, and don't waste a lot of time on the jokers. People who are busy making light of the gospel and playing the game back and forth. A closing exhortation to any who are here today or in my hearing, sincerely seeking. First, Christ is the only answer. Secondly, I plead with you not to reject Him today. I pray to the Lord that it doesn't happen. But there's no guarantee that you're going to make it home today. Third, understand what it means to come to Christ. If I don't make any sense, that's fine. Ask. Ask your question. Ask me. Ask the person who's sitting on the side of you. Don't rest until you understand how it is that you can find eternal life. You've been on a mission in things in life, right? When you wanted to go do evil somewhere, or you wanted to go to some place where sin abounds, you went out of your way. You went on a mission to get there, right? Try going on a mission to get there. And don't stop until you've achieved that mission. Finally, pray. I lead you in a prayer now, if you're confused. That might help you along in making that decision. And if you pray such a prayer, then tell somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. And consider all of the ramifications that are involved. This is serious business. The business regarding your soul. Dear Heavenly Father, I have heard of Christ. And I've been playing games too long. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I've messed up. And I've come here and I've heard a little something that gives me hope. Lord, you said that whoever believes will have everlasting life and will not perish. I want to join that club this morning. I don't know everything there is to know about this Jesus, but something's happened within me this morning. And I believe that Jesus took the nails for me, that He died, that He rose again. And I trust Him here and now. In Jesus' name, amen.